Well, God bless you. It's great to be with you today, and I hope you'll stay connected with us during the week through our daily podcast, our YouTube channel, and social media, and you can come visit us in person. We'd love to have you be a part of one of our services. I'd like to start with something funny, and somebody sent me this funny thought, and I kind of liked it, but here's how it goes. In the beginning, God created the earth and rested. Then God created man and rested. Next, God created women. And since then, neither God nor man has rested. A lady asked my father one time, she said, "Where would you men be without us women?" My father smiled and said, "In the Garden of Eden." Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same, never, 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 I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. God bless you. I want to talk to you today about not counting on people. Sometimes we're getting our worth and value from how people treat us. If they're kind and compliment us and invite us to their event, acknowledge our gifts, then we'll feel good about ourselves. We have their approval, their validation. And it's great when people are for us and make us feel valuable. But the problem with counting on people is people can change. People can get busy. People can become jealous. People can be discouraged. They can't keep you cheered up. They have their own issues. They never compliment themselves. They're probably not going to compliment you. And instead of looking to people, you have to go to God. No matter how much someone loves you and how much they want the best for you, they can't give you everything you need. They can't always be there to cheer you up and keep you encouraged and feeling confident. Let them off the hook. That's a lot of pressure for someone to know they have to keep you fixed. They have to compliment you 3 times a day and tell you how great you are, how you're going to make it. They want the best for you, but at some point they'll let you down. They're human. God never designed us to get that all from people, but from Him. And yes, He'll use people, but don't be surprised when He pulls that back and you don't get from them what you used to. He's teaching you to depend on Him and not their approval, their compliments, their encouragement, because that's temporary. That's dependent on what's going on in their life. And sometimes the acceptance, the approval we're longing for from people, they don't have it to give. Nobody gave it to them. The way you want them to love you, respect you, and make you feel important, they never saw that growing up. Nobody put that in them. Are you trying to get something from someone that they don't have to give? Trying to convince that coworker to acknowledge just one time that you're talented, that you have good ideas, or that family member to accept you, include you, make you feel welcome? No matter what you do, it's like you're secondary, not good enough. No, stop counting on people to give you something they don't have. They love you. Sure, they're a good person. If they had it, they would give it. Try a different approach. God, I know You accept me. You approve me. You call me a masterpiece. You said I can do all things through Christ. Get your approval from Almighty God. Sometimes we're trying to get something from a person that's never going to give it. Not because they can't give it, but they don't want to. They're never going to be for us, never show us respect, never acknowledge our gifts. That's okay. Everyone is not supposed to be for you. If you don't realize this, you'll get stuck trying to change people's mind, thinking, I got to win them over and prove that I'm a good person, convince them that they're wrong about me. All that's going to do is frustrate you, cause you to live stressed. You have to let it go and move forward. You don't need their approval. Well, Joel, they don't respect me. You don't need their respect. They don't acknowledge my gifts. You don't need their acknowledgement. You know what they are? A distraction. The enemy would love for you to waste your time trying to change something that you can't change, living stressed over someone that doesn't really matter. They cannot stop your destiny. Them not being for you doesn't lessen your value. Not recognizing your talent, downplaying your accomplishments, treating you like you're inferior, that doesn't change the fact that you're a masterpiece, that you have seeds of greatness, that you're wearing a crown of favor. Why are you wasting time trying to get something from someone that they're never going to give? Jesus told his disciples, when you go into a city and they don't accept your message, they don't welcome you, he didn't say, stay there and try to convince them to change. Tell them how good you are, how sincere, prove your talent. No, he said, shake the dust off your feet and move on. He was saying, don't waste another minute trying to convince people to like you, respect you, include you, come see you. We spend too much time trying to win people over that are never going to be for us, trying to get something that they're never going to give. And this can be difficult, especially when it's people close to us. We long for approval from our relatives, and the people we look up to. But think about David in the scripture. His father didn't really believe in him. He discounted him and left him out in the shepherd's fields when Samuel came to anoint one of the sons as the next king. He thought, David, it's not him. He's too small, too young. He's not as talented as his brothers. David could have lived bitter, upset, trying to convince his father to change his mind, but he shook it off and moved forward. When he took lunch to his brothers, they were in the army in another city, and he was being kind, doing them a favor. The oldest brother, Eliab, belittled him. In front of the other soldiers, he said, David, what are you doing here? And what did you do with those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? He tried to make David feel small and insignificant. You would think his brother would say, David, thanks for coming so far. Thanks for being so kind and generous. But people may not give you what you deserve. Sometimes they don't have it. It's just not in them. Other times they're jealous, competitive, or they're bitter from things that have nothing to do with you. It's easy to try to defend and prove and win over because we want people's approval. But what if you knew they were never going to give it? If you became Superman, you were the greatest, kindest, most loving, talented person ever, yet they're still going to discredit, dismiss, downplay who you are. It's much better to do what Jesus said, shake the dust off and move on. Be kind, be respectful, but don't try to win their approval. You don't need it. They're a distraction. When that brother disrespected David, the scripture says David turned and walked away. His attitude was, I don't need your respect. You don't have to believe in me. You don't control my destiny. But had David tried to change Eliab's mind and convince him that he was good, and talented, and I'm not what you think, he would have been so distracted, arguing, trying to win him over, that he wouldn't have heard Goliath up on the mountain. Don't miss your assignment trying to convince people to be for you that are never going to be for you. Fighting battles that don't matter, shake the dust off and move forward. When my father went to be with the Lord and I stepped up to pastor the church, there was a man that had been close to our family and had been here for many years. He called and told me how happy he was for me. Then he went on to tell me how to run the church, how to lead the staff, and who to hire, and what I should speak on, and the changes I should make. He was very opinionated and very strong. I was very insecure and very quiet. But something on the inside rose up like a lion. I didn't say anything to him, but I thought, you are not going to squeeze me into your mold. I may look weak, but you have another thing coming. And he was for me as long as I was doing what he wanted. He gave me his approval as long as I was in his box. The problem was, I didn't like anything he told me. It didn't bear witness to my spirit. I had to decide, am I going to do what God's called me to do? Or am I going to try to please this man and stay in his good grace? And I knew if I did what God put in my heart, he'd get upset. He'd be offended. He'd look down on me. But the scripture says it is better to please God than to please people. When we come to the end of life, we're not going to stand before people. We're going to stand before God. And I didn't take his advice. I went the way I felt in my heart. And he wasn't happy. He was upset. But I've learned if you try to keep everyone else happy, you're going to be unhappy. To fulfill your assignment, there will be people that don't approve, don't accept, misunderstand. You can't worry about all that. I knew he was never going to give me his approval. He was never going to be for me, but that's okay. I didn't need his approval. I didn't need him to cheer me on. If I had done it his way, here's what I know, it would have never been enough. There would always be some way I wasn't measuring up. Need to do more of this, Joel, less of this, striving, straining, trying to keep him happy. Make sure he respects me. That's no way to live. Take the pressure off. You don't need people's applause. Do what God put in your heart and you'll hear his applause. He's the one that matters. Promotion doesn't come from people. It comes from God. And the funny thing, and all credit to God, but the church grew and we moved here into the compact center. I've had books, media go out all over. He never once acknowledged it. He never once called back and said, Joel, I'm so proud of you. It's amazing what God has done. My point is, he was never really for me. He was for manipulating me, controlling me. If you don't do what I want, I'm not going to give you my approval. I'm not going to respect you. Do yourself a favor, shake that dust off and move on. Quit worrying about if you're going to fall out of someone's good grace, trying to get something that they're never going to give. Or if they do give it, it's going to be conditional. As long as you stay in my box, then I'll approve you. You don't need them. They're a distraction. If you're not aware, you'll waste time and energy trying to win them over, letting people manipulate you, being frustrated. Life is too short to live that way. You have a destiny to fulfill. There was a man in the scripture named Haman. He was a high-ranking official in the Persian Empire, the right-hand man of King Xerxes. He had this prominent position, working daily with the king. And when he walked out of the palace, people would bow down to show their respect. That was their tradition. But there was a Jewish man named Mordecai that wouldn't bow down. He would only bow to Jehovah. Well, everywhere Haman went, people would show their respect, walking down the street or going to a restaurant in the city square. People were constantly acknowledging Haman, showing him honor. You would think he wouldn't worry about Mordecai. Not given the time of day, one person won't bow. Big deal. Hundreds of others do. But verse 5 says, when Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, he was filled with rage. He was furious. Not because someone tried to harm his child, steal his funds, take his position, all because one man wouldn't show respect. He was so angry, so offended, verse 6 says, he decided it was not enough to just get rid of Mordecai alone, but he was going to annihilate all the Jewish people. He was so consumed trying to get something from Mordecai that Mordecai was never going to give that he got distracted, lost his focus. Now he's not just upset with Mordecai. He's going to try to wipe out tens of thousands of people because one man won't show him respect. When you look at it from the big picture, it's almost comical. You're going to upend your whole life, take these drastic measures because one man has offended you? One person won't approve you? Won't celebrate your position? And the fact is, Mordecai not bowing down wouldn't have stopped Haman's destiny. He could have ignored it, thought, I don't need his respect. He doesn't control my purpose. But it was a trick to get him off course, engaged in a battle that didn't matter, trying to get something from someone that they were never going to give. How many of us are doing like Haman, so focused on what someone won't give us? Joel, they won't approve me. They don't show me respect. They won't compliment me. They don't invite me to their gathering. They don't recognize my talent. We can get so set on changing them, fixing them, proving to them that we get distracted and miss our assignment. You don't need their respect. You don't need them to be for you. It may be someone close to you, a relative, a coworker that should compliment you. They should be grateful and show you respect. You deserve it. You have the position. You've been good to them. But you can't make people give you something. Make them like you. Make them be for you. That's a test. Are you going to get distracted trying to get something that they're never going to give? Live upset, trying to pay them back, change their mind. Do like David, turn and walk away. Don't pay it any attention. If you needed their respect, their validation, their support, you would have it. God is not going to withhold any good thing you need. If they're withholding it, they can't stand against God. The right attitude is, I don't need it. Yes, I wish I had it, but God, I'm not depending on what people give or don't give. My trust is in you. I get my value, my worth, my encouragement from you. Well, Queen Esther was a Jew, and she heard of Haman's plan to destroy her people. She asked the king if he would have dinner with her and Haman. She was going to tell him about this plot. Well, Haman was so happy. He's being honored by the king. Verse 10 says, he gathered his friends in his home and bragged about his wealth, the honors the king had given him, and how he'd been promoted over the other leaders, how Queen Esther had invited him to a private banquet, which is her and the king. He was so excited, feeling good about himself. Then he said, the next verse, but all this is meaningless to me as long as I see Mordecai sitting there at that palace gate. He had all these great things going for him, position, influence, friends, honor. But one man wouldn't show him respect. One man wouldn't give him what he wanted. Instead of letting it go, shaking the dust off, he stayed focused on it. He thought, I gotta fix Mordecai if it's the last thing I do. You know, it was the last thing he did. He lost his life trying to get something from someone that they were never going to give. And I realized this was the plan of God to save the Jews, but look at the principle. When you get so focused on trying to get something from someone that doesn't want to give it, or perhaps they don't have it to give, then you'll get distracted, trying to prove and convince and pay back. Do yourself a favor. If you don't get it, shake it off. You don't need it. Quit counting on people to give you what only God can give. Go to Him for your approval, your validation, your worth. Because I can promise you, there will always be someone that doesn't give you what you want, what you deserve, what they should. These are tests. We can get offended like Haman, get distracted and try to win them over, change their mind, or we can do like David and turn and walk away. A friend of mine grew up in a single-parent home. At 5 years old, his father walked out of his life and wouldn't have anything to do with the family or him. As a child, he longed to see his father and longed for the approval, but the dad wouldn't return his mother's calls. As a teenager, he would send his father's letters, Father's Day cards, birthday cards, hoping for some kind of reply, but nothing. The psalmist said, God will be a father to the fatherless. Sometimes people don't give us what they should. Children should have love and acceptance, approval from their parents, but life can happen. People aren't around. Or they never got it as a child. And they don't know how to give it. This young man never got offended, didn't grow up bitter and trying to prove to people he was okay. His mother was always reminding him how he was made in the image of God and that he was a masterpiece, approved and accepted by his heavenly Father. 30 years old, his father reached out and said he wanted to see him. My friend took his two little girls, flew to a different city, and showed up at the house. The wife opened the door and said, "I'm so sorry, but your dad has changed his mind. He doesn't want to see you after all." You can imagine how heartbreaking, discouraging. Finally got his hopes up, going to get approval from his father, but it never happened. Some people, it's not that they don't want to, they just don't have it to give. He learned that his father had been abandoned as a child, and there were all of these wounds and hurts that he had never dealt with. The amazing thing is, my friend is one of the most happy, kind, generous, talented people that you will ever meet. His children are now grown and successful. You would never know that he didn't have a great upbringing. It's because he learned to go to God and not to people. Get your value, your worth, your approval from your heavenly Father. Because if you're trying to get it from people, you can be disappointed. People can let you down. People have issues, things that they didn't get. It's easy to find fault. Man, why wasn't I raised in a better environment? Why won't my spouse encourage me more? Why won't my friend acknowledge my accomplishments? Why don't they give me credit? It's almost like they owe me something. I'm expecting you to give me this. A better way to live is nobody owes me anything. My heavenly Father takes care of me. If not, we're dependent on people to keep us happy, our spouse to cheer us up, our friend to make us feel valued. This coworker needs to show me respect so I feel good about myself. Need to get that parent that walked away to acknowledge how great I am. Let them off the hook. Quit going to people and start going to God. 2 Timothy 4, the Apostle Paul was talking about opposition and things that had come against him. He said in verse 10, "Demas has forsaken me and gone to another city." Someone he was counting on left him. Verse 14, "Alexander the coppersmith did me great wrong, but the Lord will repay him." Verse 16, "At my trial, no one came to support me. Everyone deserted me, but the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength. The Lord will rescue me from every attack. The Lord will bring me safely through." Look at all the times people let him down, walked away and weren't loyal. He could have been bitter. Why did this happen? Trying to pay them back. But every time someone did him wrong, he said, "The Lord will help me. The Lord will pay me back. The Lord will rescue me. The Lord will bring me safely through." He wasn't depending on people. He was depending on God. If he was counting on people, he would have been discouraged and given up. Demas left him, his main man. He'd been good to Demas. He'd mentored him, but he abandoned Paul, went to another city. At his trial, no one came to support him. His whole staff, friends, followers, people he had been good to. "Sorry, Paul, you're on your own." There will be these times that people can't give you what you need. They're good people, but they're busy. They're tired. When you need them, they can't make it. Don't get bitter. Don't try to make them feel guilty. Look at all I've done for you. If they can't give you what you're looking for, the support, the encouragement, the validation, you don't need it from them. As you mature, as you grow, God will wean you off of what you used to have. Like a mother takes away a bottle so the baby can grow and eat real food, God will take away what a person is giving you so you won't be dependent on them. You don't need a crutch. You don't need someone to always keep you fixed, cheered up, motivated. That's good for a season, but you have to learn to get that from God and not people. Because one of your people may be a Demas. You thought I was going to say a demon. A Demas. Maybe that too. Demas left you when you really needed him. Or a Peter. He said, "Jesus, I'll always be with you. You can count on me." But when the soldier showed up, he denied that he knew Jesus. Or a King Saul. He invited David to the palace. He was all for him until David started getting more attention, more favor, He killed a giant. Now Saul was throwing spears, jealous, trying to take David out. That's why you can't count on people. They can change. It's great when they give you the support, the love, the compliments. Sure, God will have people that are there for you like that, loyal, kind, amazing. But sometimes God pulls them back. You have to recognize what's happening. You're growing up. God's getting you prepared to go to new levels. Where you're going, you can't depend on people. It's between you and God. 2 Samuel, David told his staff that he wanted to take a census and see how many people they had. But God told David specifically to not count the people. One of the commanders said, David, we can't take a census. You know God instructed us not to do it. But David insisted, and they ended up doing it. But it's interesting that God didn't want them to count. God counted the people when he fed the 5,000, five loaves and two fish. He had them sit in groups of 50. God counted Gideon's men, said, you've got too many. The scripture says God counts the number of hair on our head. It wasn't so much that God didn't want David to count the people. He didn't want David to count on the people. He didn't want him to rely on the numbers and on, do they like me? Do they respect me? Are they for me? Don't count on that, because sooner or later, a Demas will show up, a Saul, a Mordecai that won't give you what you want. If you're counting on people, you'll get distracted trying to win them over and discouraged because they won't do what you want. Are you trying to get something from someone that's never going to give it? Like Haman, frustrating yourself, trying to convince this person to like you, respect you, approve you. Take the pressure off. You don't need their approval. Don't lose your focus trying to get from them what God can give. They don't have to be for you. Their disrespect will not keep you from slaying giants, from taking thrones, from setting new standards. They don't control your destiny. Quit counting on the people and go to God. If you'll do this, I believe and declare God is going to strengthen you, favor you, fight your battles. You will rise higher, accomplish dreams, and become all you were created to be. In Jesus' name. And if you receive it, can you say amen? Let's pray together. If you have 5 minutes, just stick with me. We'll seal it in prayer. Lord, thank you for what we've heard today. I know it falls on great ground, faithful people here at Lakewood, and many watching and listening. Lord, show us areas that we're depending too much on people. Lord, help us to see any kind of things that are holding us back. And Lord, we commit today. We're going to let people off the hook. Lord, we're going to give them the grace to be who they are. But Lord, we're going to look to you. And Lord, I thank you that we're going to know that's a sign that you're growing us up, taking us to new levels. And I just thank you, Father, that we receive your approval today. All that people won't give, Lord, we just receive you smiling on us, approving us, accepting us, putting that crown of favor on our lives. And Lord, I just speak your victory over your people as they go out this week, their children, your angels watching after them, protecting them, guarding, guiding, a favor-filled week in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed in prayer, just a couple minutes. If your heart stopped beating in the next few minutes, are you at peace with God? Do you know where you'd spend eternity if you died a little while from now? If not, I would love to pray with you. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to help you find a new beginning. Now, I know this comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And in just a moment, if you're not at peace with the Lord, or maybe you are a Christian, but you've grown cold toward God, you know you need to rededicate, recommit your life to Christ. If that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. I can't think of a better time to get on the road to victory than right now. God is not mad at you. Your sins have already been forgiven. All you have to do is accept the free gift of Christ's salvation. Will you do it today? The enemy will whisper in your thoughts, do it next week. Do it another time. Listen, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. You're not hearing this by accident. Well, Joel, it's embarrassing to stand in front of everyone. Have people at the house. I can't lift my hand. Listen to what Jesus said. If you won't be ashamed of me before people, then I won't be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. I'm going to give you a great opportunity to show God that you're not ashamed of Him. If you're not at peace with the Lord, or you just need to recommit, rededicate, you just need that new beginning, that fresh new start. If that's you, would you be bold, take that step of faith, and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. Would you do that? Come on, Lakewood, let's give them a hand as they stand all over the building. Come on, don't put it off. I feel like there ought to be others. Your heart's beating fast. Don't go home without peace. Anybody else? Up top? Still standing, Lakewood. Anybody else? Anybody else watching? Well, God bless you. And please remain standing if you don't mind. But I got to tell you how proud we are of you. I know that took courage to stand. And I know this, the angels are rejoicing in the heavens right now. God will never be ashamed of you because you took this step of faith. The scripture says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I want to help you to call today. Do you mind all praying this after me? Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Amen. We're going to send in one more moment. I want to tell you again how much we love you. I also want to give you a personal invitation and a challenge to come back and be with us on a regular basis. We ask new believers, give us the next year of your life. Just like you go to work for the next year, make it a priority that you're going to be here every time you can. I'll make a promise to you. Before that year is over, your life will never be the same for the better. We're going to help you grow and become who God's created you to be. And I know you're busy on Sundays. A lot of times it's a day off, but I can promise you this. There is a blessing on your life when you get into a community of faith and put God first place. Your new week will go better. And we'd love to have you here at Lakewood. You can join some of our teams. I don't mean put you to work. I want you to meet some amazing friends, greeters, ushers, choir, the young people. We've got thousands of volunteers. You can get on a team, people that'll love you. There'll be lifelong friends you can make if you'll come and get plugged in. I hope you'll take me up on that. Hey, after service, right over here, there's a room called New Beginnings. If you need anything, information, prayer, anything, I'm going to be that way. If you got a moment, too busy today, stop by sometime. I'd love to meet you and your family. Great classes after service as well. But know this, the moment you stood up, God washed away all your sins, your mistakes, your failures. You are starting with a fresh, clean slate. Write it down in your Bible. It's June 22nd, 2025, a new day of victory in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's all stand together if you would, please. Thanks for coming out today. How many of you going home better off than you were before? Amen. All right, guys, let me speak a blessing. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord show you His favor and have mercy on you. And may the Lord watch over you and give you His peace. God bless you. We love you very much. Have a favor-filled week. See you back real soon.